Just checking, can you hear me okay? Yes. Excellent, great. You seem far away, so I'm going to come down from the big step, if that's all right. Just introduce myself for those that don't know. I'm Richard. I'm not the vicar here. It's Tom who's been leading the service. But I work elsewhere, but worship here and live locally. So, John 15. I'll come back to why I've put a slightly different phrasing to what you heard in the text. Hold that thought, I am the vineyard, okay? But let's just pray first of all. Loving God, for many of us, this scripture about the vine, the branches, the vineyard may be very familiar. I pray that you would open it up afresh to us, that we might be your followers who bear much fruit. Amen. So we're going to concentrate on the John 15 reading. And I don't know about you, I am a rubbish gardener. So I'm going to pretend a little bit of horticultural knowledge for the sake of this sermon, because I think there are principles about how things grow, and particularly how to cultivate a good vineyard that are there in this text that certainly I'm completely ignorant of. Fiona will verify this, but it doesn't take much to dissuade me from the garden. So the little bit of rain yesterday and lots of rain today, I know the grass needs cutting, everything is growing like topsy. It's that time of year. But, well, it will have to wait another day. And it seems fitting that we have this reading in the Easter season, and certainly here in the UK, it's spring where everything is growing quickly, isn't it? I look out at the garden and those bushes, oh my, they need trimming. The weeds are coming up day by day, and there's something of the seasons and how we manage growth to get better growth that's underlying what Jesus is wanting to share with his followers about resurrection life, about life in the Spirit and new life for all of us. So, let's just go on to the next slide. And as I saw it earlier, I realized, forgive the fact that you can't see the text. It doesn't matter. The photograph is more important. I will read the kind of bullet points there. But there is a picture of a vine grower taking secateurs to prune a vine. That's a different season. There's nothing happening there. Just to give some background, first of all, you know that the chapters in the Bible were put in later, the divides by numbers. They're there just to help us find our way around. But it would have run on from the end of chapter 14, which ends with Jesus saying to his followers, "Rise, let us be on our way." Now, Jesus and his followers, the disciples, this is not long before the crucifixion, had been on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And they're coming down the Mount of Olives. Jesus is on his way. And we don't know, but let's picture the scene. Maybe he's walking past a vineyard and he's talking to them. They're on their way. And this section of scripture, it's what's called, the boffins call it the farewell discourse, chapters 14, 15, 16, 17, and it's Jesus effectively giving really core teaching because he's saying goodbye. He knows he's heading to the cross, but it's not the kind of goodbye that we might know, because it's, you're going to see me die, but I'm going to be lifted up, but I'm going to go back to the Father, and you won't see me again, but actually, I'm going to live with you. And you're going to do the kind of things I did. That's the kind of goodbye message he's giving. And in this section, it's a key message about what it means to continue to follow Jesus even when you don't see him in the flesh. So that's for us. How do we follow when the Jesus in sandals, who's teaching in the first century, is not amongst us, but his life is in us? So they're on their way. They might have seen a vineyard. And what else they may have seen as they look across at the old city of Jerusalem, and anyone who's been on the Mount of Olives, you see the old city, see these fantastic old scenes. They would have seen the temple. It's all been knocked down. But they would have seen the gates of the temple, which were humongous. And a historian of that time describes how 20-foot tall golden grapes were over the top of the gate. And they would have seen them. So Jesus is walking down the hill, looking across at the temple, at that scene, maybe even seeing a vineyard. And there is this wonderful Old Testament sort of imagery for Israel that are used repeatedly that Jesus is echoing. Here's just a few. So Jeremiah 2 verse 2, Israel is a choice vine. Israel 5, 7, the house of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. Psalm 80, God is a vine grower and Israel is a vine. And Jesus says these words and puts himself in the place of God, puts his followers in the place of Israel. Now, let me go back to why I've began with I am the vineyard. Now, this is the bit where, just go with me here, and even though we've got choruses and the words that we've got translated in the Bible say, I am the vine, you are the branches, or I'm the vine, my father is the vine grower, lots of scholars now suggest that those words developed a different meaning even before Jesus' time, and that more accurately, Jesus was saying, I am the vineyard, my father is the vine grower. I am the vineyard, you are the vine. Which makes more sense of the detail of what Jesus then says. Okay? So it's this sense of being rooted in the soil of Jesus. He is the vineyard, and we are vines. And you get more of a personal and community as well. What's our responsibility? If we're just branches connected to each other, what's the challenge to each other? And what does it mean when branches are taken off or a vine's not fruitful? Well, a vine is fruitful when it's in the soil of the vineyard and tended by the Father, the vine grower. So I'm going to use those words from now on. The idea that Jesus is the vineyard, we are the vine. And I think what it speaks to us as well, which is why I've got this picture, is that what it means to have seasons of both fruitfulness and seasons where nothing seemingly happens. So there is nothing wrong with a vine that doesn't have any fruit. There are seasons of fruitfulness. I remember a few years ago, and some of you may know the Christian conference Spring Harvest, and a friend of mine was invited to speak to the directors of Spring Harvest years ago, just to consult on what they did and how they went about things. And one of his recommendations, which they did ignore, was please change your name. Because there is no such thing as a spring harvest. There's an autumn harvest. Yeah. And there's something about the Christian life where we live in seasons. Some of you right now may feel that your life looks a bit like that. Where's the fruit? Nothing's happening. Feels a bit dead. Now, there are promises in the scripture about fruitfulness, but there are seasons. And there are times when some of the branches need to be cut away. Some of the things that we do need to be pruned. Some of our ideas and attitudes, former presumptions, some of our hopes and fears need to be just cut away, that there may be fruit for the future. So when we approach this scripture, please, and I know it's been very familiar to me, that it sometimes put a burden on, oh my goodness, I need to be fruitful, otherwise I'll be got rid of. God promises fruitfulness, but there are seasons. There are times when it might not look on the surface like anything's going on. But any of you that are proper gardeners, even in the depths of winter, stuff is happening. It's necessary for the growth that's coming. The soil's being turned. There's a bit of purifying. There's riches and nutrients that need to grow in depth to feed. And that's what our Christian life is sometimes like. So, just take a pause. Look at that vine. When we finish at the end, and I'll pray, you might want to kind of say to yourself, where am I at now? What season am I in? What's the work that God is doing, maybe under the surface? If we could have our next slide, please. This is a different season, this picture. Lots of grapes. Now, these days, you don't even have to go to France or Italy to see vineyards with wonderful clusters of grapes. You know, increasingly, with global warming, we've got wonderful vineyards in our own country, but it's a fantastic sight. And what you get in this text, in what Jesus is sharing with his followers, is this shift where the promises that were focused on the place of Israel and just the Jewish people and around the temple are suddenly enlarged, and they're for all people and the whole world, which is why we have that wonderful accompanying scripture of the Ethiopian eunuch, who's the outsider in two very clear ways. And that's a wonderful text. And just, you might want to look it up, but when they read scripture, and when Philip approached the Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot and he's reading from Isaiah, it would be a scroll. And the chances are, if it was a scroll from that section of Isaiah, Philip may have even been able to point out, well, a chapter or two away, there's a promise about even the eunuchs will be blessed by God. You're thinking, well, just read back a bit. Look at this. God's promising all people. And that's you and me. I don't know if anyone here is Jewish, but God's promises are now available to every one of us here. And if you know and love God, we're in on the act. We've been planted into this vineyard in Christ. So, what does it mean for us? Yes, it's not the stuff of place or ethnicity. We're all in on this. We're in to a person. Jesus himself is that vineyard. And our task is, in some senses, really simple and yet really difficult. It is simply to abide, to stay. I don't know if anyone knows or has got Scottish friends, but whenever I speak to Scottish friends, I do this slight double take, because if they ask you, where do you stay, they don't mean the hotel or whatever, they mean, where do you live? So if you know anyone from Glasgow, where do you stay? Don't say your B&B, you say the town that you live in. As Christians, where do you stay? Jesus. And the challenge that Jesus gives his disciples is simply, stay in me. Follow my words. Draw from my nutrients. And in practical terms, this might seem a really very simple, boring message. And if this is all you take from today and it's simple and boring, fantastic. Pray. Worship. Read your Bible. Stay. And whatever season you're in, whether you feel particularly fruitful or it feels like nothing's going on, stay. Read your scripture. Pray. Worship. That is all. Abide in me. Live in Jesus. And the fruitfulness, I mean, there are different pictures of fruit, aren't there, in Scripture? So we have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, and always forget the rest. And there's a song that should help me, but I've not quite got it right now. But I think the fruit here, and again, this is the gardening stuff, they tell me it's fruit that actually creates other trees, other vines, because it's the seeds from the fruit when they're dropped. Because not every grape becomes a nice vintage. So it's other people getting in on it. It's good news just going out and more vines being planted. That's the way it should be. Bubbling out into our neighborhoods, into our families. And it might seem like nothing's happening, but God is faithful. All you need to do is stay. Let's pray. Let's just take a moment just to recall those two pictures. The pruned, seemingly dead vine and the very fruitful, bulging vine. Where do we feel we're at? Lord, come by your Holy Spirit. Draw alongside us. May we be in you. Comfort us where it feels like nothing is really going on. Give us the strength and the determination to stay in you, to stay in prayer, to listen, to look, where it feels that we're in a season of fruitfulness. Thank you, Lord God. And for those around us, the loved ones, neighbours, work colleagues. May the good news of the life of the resurrected Jesus be made known to each of them. In Jesus' name, amen.